today's podcast, entitled "The Epic Story Is You." More of that in a moment. First, today's Hasidic anecdote. Here it goes. The teachings of Hasidic philosophy, Hasidus, demand that before rebuking someone else, before criticizing someone, one should, quote, cut their nails so that people will not scratch each other. For the forces of klipa, which means unholiness, cling to the nails. Every prick unleashes unholy energy. Then, after cutting the nails, one must perform a ritual washing of the hands. In the metaphorical language of Hasidus, this signifies the drawing down of intellectual influence into the emotions. So let's break this down here for a moment. What the Rebbe is saying is that there might be times that call for an intervention. When someone that you're close to, who feels close to you, could use an intervention because you see that they are going down a path that is maybe detrimental for them, and they need some help. The way to intervene, says the Rebbe, is first of all to be sure that it's in no way does it come across as being antagonizing or a personal attack. In other words, that it doesn't sting or hurt the other person. So this is metaphorically the idea of cutting the nails, which means that when you are engaging and intervening and interacting with someone, you don't have sharp nails so that it doesn't come across like you are hurting the other person or like scratching them, poking them, but rather it comes across that your intervention has their genuine best interests in mind. So the first thing is to make sure it's not personal and not, you know, like scratch someone, poke someone in a psychological or emotional sense. But that, even that's not enough. That's a starting point. Then in Jewish law, after a person cuts their nails in the literal sense of that, we're supposed to wash our hands to ritually purify them and to sanctify them. An idea of that, says the Rebbe, is the idea of the pouring of the water is the idea of an intellectual flow. And what that means is that aside from making sure that an intervention or a criticism doesn't come across as being personal and is not hurtful to the other person, it has to come from what we call the executive mind, which means that a person has to be in total control of their emotions and of themselves when engaging someone in a way of an intervention or being critical, so that it's not at all coming across as an emotional reaction, but a thoughtful, deliberate, thoughtful, and well-articulated way of communicating. And today, there's actually lots and lots of great resources out there, tools of how to communicate effectively. So in other words, instead of saying to someone, you shouldn't be doing that, you could put it as, you know, you may want to rethink that, perhaps there's a better way to do that. So there are ways to be able to engage someone in a way that's going to, help them in their growth without it coming across as being a personal attack, but rather in a way that actually helps them and empowers them to take ownership of their own behavior. So, and to be a catalyst for that. So that's the Hasidic teaching for today. That's the Yom Yom for today. Now, why would a person even think of intervening? You know, to let a lot of people have an attitude of sort of live and let live. And sometimes people in distress today and see it as an opportunity to whip out their cell phone take shoot video and have the next great viral video rather than intervening. Why would a person even think of intervening in someone else's life or growth? So that is a lesson that we take from today's Torah section, and this is the title for today's session. The epic story is you. Moshe talks to the Jewish people and he says that when God spoke to you at Mount Sinai, he spoke to all of you who are physically present and all of you who are not physically present. I mean, think about that for a moment. What an incredible statement Moshe is saying about the eternity of the Torah for all future generations, but also the interconnectedness of generations. He's saying we are all bound, those of you who are physically standing at Sinai today, and all the souls of all Jewish generations for all generations to come. You're all present. You're all here. You're all connected. You're all part of the story, and you are all mutually responsible for one another. So it's an incredibly broad and powerful context for a person to be able to self-identify. I mean, who am I? What am I a part of? What's my story? And here, I'm part of this incredibly glorious story, the most epic story ever, which is the story of the Jewish people. Starts with Abraham, formalized covenantally at Mount Sinai, and I'm an integral and essential part to that story. So I'm connected to the generations that came before me. I'm not just part of the present of those who are, quote, here today, but I'm also part and linked to the story of the generations before. And every generation has the responsibility to pass on the great baton of Judaism and Jewish life to the next generation. So it's an incredibly powerful, again, way of self-identifying, the sense of linkage and interconnectedness, not only to those around me, but to the generations before and the generations to come. That's the takeaway from the Torah section of today. In today's Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is talking to a community in Israel. He writes a letter to them about the importance of tzedakah, talking about mutual responsibility and interdependence. He says something very powerful. He says he was writing to a community who themselves were not doing well, were struggling. And what he was saying was this: if your struggle is for something, he doesn't use the word luxurious, but something that's not a most basic necessity, and you're holding back from giving another community who don't even have the most basic necessities, so that is something that needs to be fixed and corrected. In other words, if I have enough to feed myself, clothe myself, and have shelter, those are the most basic needs. But I'm withholding sharing funds with someone else who doesn't have either of those because I need to spend money on non-essential items or to invest or whatever it might be. And at the expense of that, I'm not supporting someone who does not have the most basic needs of food, clothing, and shelter. That is incorrect, says the Alter Rebbe. In other words, if my most basic necessities, which means absolutely essential necessities for my own existence, are taken care of, and I'm not giving charity because I'm investing or holding money for other things that are not essential, and I am aware of someone else's situation that is lacking in the most basic essentials, I am obligated to see to it that the other person has their basic essentials to be able to live, namely food, shelter, and clothing. That's the Tanya for today. And lastly, we have Rambam's mitzvah of the day. And today, the mitzvah for today of the 613 mitzvahs is the mitzvah to give a bill of divorce when a marriage has reached the point of not being able to continue. So the Torah provides a mechanism to be able to terminate that marriage, and that is through a get. That's a very important thing for a Jewish couple to be aware of. It's not enough to terminate a marriage via a civil divorce, but there has to be, in Jewish law, the only thing that actually, the only mechanism that does actually terminate the marriage is a get, which is something that is written by a scribe, and a process that is convened by a Jewish court, by a Jewish Beth Din. The Rambam says an interesting law, and that is that if a court deems a marriage to be not sustainable, and that a husband is obligated by Jewish law to give a get to his wife, but he's holding out and resisting, the court may exert pressure and coercion and coerce and force the husband, at whatever means that they have disposed to them, to force the husband to do so. And Rambam explains that even though a mitzvah has to be done willingly, and this would seemingly be a mitzvah done under coercion, and thus perhaps not valid, because you have to do a mitzvah willingly, not because you're forced. So Rambam says a very, very powerful idea that the Rebbe would often quote, and that is, when a person is resistant to doing a mitzvah, to doing the right thing, in this case the court is determined that the right thing for him to do is to give the get, and he's giving pushback, and then is coerced to give it, the giving of it is actually not an expression of a forced or coerced effort on behalf of the court, but rather that all that effort is doing is eliciting and revealing within the husband his real inner desire. Because the Rambam says the inner desire of every person is to do the right thing. But we are challenged by all sorts of other forces within us that pull us away from doing the right thing, that distract us from doing the right thing, that challenge us from doing the right thing. And sometimes we need a push to get us to make the right decision. And even though ostensibly it feels like we were being forced, but if it is what the Torah mandates and calls for, ultimately that is the innermost desire of every soul, which is to align itself with God's will and do the right thing. So the pressure is only an external mechanism to be able to stimulate the inner desire and to elicit from within the innate desire that we all have to do the right thing, to do the mitzvah, in this case, to give the wife the divorce that Jewish law says she is deserving of. With that, I bid you to make it a great day. Thanks for joining us this morning. Tomorrow we'll be broadcasting on Jewish.tv. And please feel free to share today's broadcast with all your Facebook friends. And thanks for joining us. Make it a great day.